Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 867 in your pew Bible. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God.
A few moments with the children. We had lots at 8:45, and we have some here this morning. Oh, yes, good. Come on down. Come on up. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens, and we'll have just a moment together for you. Good to see everybody. Oh, look at all these folks. Come on down. So happy to see you. Now, some of you are about to start school. It's almost that time. Remember, in 2 weeks, to bring your backpacks, and we'll have a blessing of the backpacks. So happy to see everyone. All right, as these last folks are coming up, welcome. I want to play a little pretend with you, okay? Let's pretend that you are all grown-ups, maybe parents or teachers, and I am 5 years old. Okay, can we pretend that? You're all grown-ups and I'm 5 years old. So I want you to tell me yes or no. Can I have ice cream for supper every day?
No.
Aw.
It would be really bad for you.
Can I stay up all night playing with my iPad?
No.
No. Gee. Can I go run across the street without looking right or left?
No.
No. No. You know, sometimes we think no is not a nice word, but sometimes the people who love us tell us no because they love us. It's like you were saying just a second ago, Grace, if I had ice cream every night for supper, that would not be good for my body, would it? Blech, I wouldn't feel very good. One of the kids at 8:45 said it would give you brain freeze. So, you know, lots of ways that it's not good for me. If I went to bed every night with my iPad and stayed up all night, that would be really bad for my body and my brain and everybody I lived with. And if I ran across the street without looking right or left, I might get hurt. So sometimes the people in our lives tell us no because they love us and they want what's best for us. The story we just heard about Jesus, for me, is an example of one time when he told people no because he loved them and he wanted them to understand who he really was. So next time someone tells you no, ask yourself, maybe they're telling me no because they love me. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the people in our lives who love us. And those grown-ups, parents, teachers, grandparents, who sometimes will tell us no because they really want what's best for us. We thank you for Jesus who loves us. And we ask that you would help us to love you and love our neighbors the best we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. And we'll see you soon. It was a lesson I learned more fully and deeply as an adult, that sometimes the most loving thing you can do for someone is to tell them no. I learned it as a parent, of course. No, you can't have ice cream for supper. No, you can't take your screens into your bedrooms at night. No, you can't run across the street. Those no's come a little more easily as a parent because you want to keep your children safe and healthy, if not always happy, right? But it's a lesson I also learned as a pastor. When I first came into ministry, I was an associate pastor at Brentwood United Methodist, and one of my responsibilities was to respond to anyone who called the church or who came by the church asking for help. And I remember talking with a gentleman one time named Ricky. I had just helped him 2 weeks before, and he called the church again because some things had happened, and he was asking if we could help again. And of course, my heart hurt for him, and I wanted to help. But I told him, you know, we have some policies around what we can do. We're not really supposed to help the same person more than once within a 6-month period. And there's a maximum, a cap on how much we can help one person because we want to be able to help as many people as we can. And he was persistent and his need was real. And so I said, well, let me go talk to my colleague. So I went down the hall and talked to my friend Doug Norfleet, who'd been in ministry a little bit longer. And he said, Carol, there are reasons why we have these policies. And just so you know, GraceWorks, which is a cooperative ministry in Williamson County, is working with Ricky, and they have a really good relationship with him, and they've asked us not to help him as frequently as we have been, because they're really doing some good work with him. And so I had to tell Ricky no, and that was hard. But at the time, it seemed like it was a loving choice, because I really wanted to help him in a better way. I've also sat with parents and friends and loved ones of someone who's going through addiction, who is in active addiction. And sometimes if you love someone in addiction, the most loving thing you can do for that person is to tell them, no, I'm not going to give you more money, or no, you can't stay here. And that is a hard thing, especially for parents and family to do. One of my struggles in coming to that realization was trying to find somewhere in the Gospels where Jesus says no. It's hard to find examples of Jesus saying no. He even says in the Sermon on the Mount, give help to anyone who asks of you. And he has people constantly interrupting him and walking up to him and asking for help, and he seems always ready to drop whatever he's doing and respond to whatever need is in front of him. So I searched and I searched, and I think I finally found an example in the 6th chapter of John, where Jesus doesn't actually say the word no, but he refuses to give people what they're asking for. And once I found that, I realized there are lots of other places in Scripture where that happens, where the people come to Jesus and they want to make him a king, and he just turns his back and walks in the other direction. Or they come to him and demand a sign to prove who he is, and he won't do it. Or when he keeps silent in front of Pontius Pilate and refuses to answer his questions. So there are times when Jesus, in his own way, says, no, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to do what you're asking of me. And this 6th chapter of John, I think, is one of those times. Now, if you're here for the first time, or maybe you weren't in worship last week, let me catch you up a little bit. We heard the first part of the story last week, the beginning of chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Thousands of people have gathered around Jesus. He sees that they're probably hungry, and so he decides to feed them. He's given the gift of a little boy's lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And after giving thanks, he blesses it, and it multiplies and multiplies, and everybody eats till they're satisfied, and there are 12 baskets left over. And we talked a little bit last week about how that was a sign. Every miracle in John's gospel is called a sign. It's a sign to the crowd that Jesus is the Son of God. It is a sign to the crowd of the very character of a superabundant God who wants everyone to be filled and satisfied with life. So Jesus has done this tremendous thing, and then he and his disciples move on. They get in their boats, they cross the sea, and they go to Capernaum. The crowd wakes up the next morning and looks around and wants Jesus. And so they follow him across the sea. And lo and behold, he turns around and he sees that they're there. And although it's not explicit in the text, Jesus seems to understand what they want. They want more barley loaves. That was really good bread that Jesus gave them. And they're hungry again. And they want to fill their bellies, just like they did the day before. And this is when Jesus says no. He's not going to give them more barley loaves because they're missing the point. What he wants to offer them is so much more than just bread to fill their bellies. What he wants to offer them is himself. He is the very incarnation of the living God, offering himself in relationship to them so that they can come to know the living God and follow him in the way. But they're just asking for barley loaves. Ultimately, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the source of abundant life. And so we have the crowd asking for barley loaves to fill their belly, and Jesus offering them himself as the bread of life to fill their hearts so they will never be hungry again. Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want to get into this dichotomy that there's people are all about the body and Jesus is only about the soul and spirit. Jesus fed the crowd. He filled their bellies. He spent his ministry tending to sick and broken bodies and broken minds and bringing health and wholeness in every way to people. And I believe that is God's will for us, that we would all have enough to fill our bellies and our souls. But after he fed them the barley loaves, that's all they were still asking for. And he wanted them to know there's so much more. What he really wants them to have is a relationship with the living God through him. And so I see a text like this, an example of Jesus hearing the wants of the people and saying no. And I see a mirror. And I see myself. And I begin to ask myself, am I just asking for barley loaves in this life? Is that really what's most important to me? Is that what I spend most of my time praying about, getting my belly filled, my needs met, making sure that my family and my friends and the people I love are fed and happy and healthy, keeping everybody happy in the church? Am I keeping my prayers at the level of barley loaves and missing out on the abundant life that Jesus is calling me to and calling you to? Maybe that's a question that arises for you too. Again, don't get me wrong. I think God cares about every single aspect of our lives. And we can look at the Psalms and find an example of the prayers of all different kinds of needs. And there is no prayer that we should edit or judge in God's presence. We pray from the heart. And if I want my son to find a job, I'm going to pray for that. And if I want my other child to go to college and be happy and find their people, I'm going to pray for that. And if someone I love is sick, I'm going to pray for their bodily health. But I don't want to think that that's all there is, that my relationship with God is just about my needs and my wants and my comforts and my conveniences and my fulfillment. There's so much more to life. And so I wonder if this text holds up a mirror to you. I wonder if it holds up a mirror to us as the people of God who gather in the church. When we come to church, are we really looking to just have our needs met, to have our preferences and our comforts and our conveniences? Do we want church the way we want it? Or are we coming here because we have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, and we want to worship God and grow in deeper love with God and our neighbors and let that love flow through us to the community around us? I have to confess, sometimes it is about me and my preferences. I've shared with you so much before. If you've heard me preach before, I have this family reunion that's a camp meeting. 200 years we've been doing this. We get to church twice a day. We sing all these hymns from this little brown Cokesbury hymnal. We know them all by heart. And about 20 years ago, which in camp meeting times was yesterday, someone suggested, you know, maybe we could incorporate some contemporary choruses and maybe bring a screen into the sanctuary. What? A screen at Tabernacle? Our God is a mighty God at Tabernacle? I don't think so. I like it the way I like it. Don't mess with my tradition. This is how I've experienced God since I was born into this place. This is what I want. This is what I prefer. This is what I think. Well, just so you know, we didn't bring a screen into the sanctuary. The technology didn't work well anyway. But we did start incorporating new songs. And now we've been singing some of those new songs for 20 years, and if you try to take them out of the rotation, there'll be a riot on your hands. But it's one of those little examples of life that reminds me that what God is up to in the world, what God is up to in the church, is not about my preferences and my conveniences and my comfort. Yes, God cares about our well-being, and God hears all of our prayers and is in our lives at work in every way. But there's more that Jesus wanted the crowds to see that day. There is the bread of life. There is a living relationship with a loving God who wants to take the wheel of our lives and take us on the adventure of our lives. And we may have to let go of some of our comforts and conveniences and recognize that it's not always about us. So we're coming to the table today. And each one of us who's here in the sanctuary will be given this little piece of bread. It's gluten-free. It's kind of small. It's not going to fill your bellies. You're going to have to go somewhere after church and eat a meal to fill your belly. And it's important for us to go from this place and recognize there are lots of empty bellies in our community, and that's part of our work together, is to provide barley loaves, to provide food for the hungry. But that's not the end of the story. What this is a sign of the bread of life, a sign of the life of Christ that is being offered to us freely and fully to invite us into this loving, living relationship. That's the adventure of a lifetime. And when we receive this bread of life, the promise is we will never be hungry again. Thanks be to God.